Is there a Brian in the house? Oh, there is. Ah, okay. Great. We got your time. Okay. You want to test your mic?
Hello, oh. Oh dear, it's a cat. What do you want me to sit down?
Right. No, come. Okay, so we want to say thank you for praying for us. It was Brian and myself and Maggie and Dean. I think you've all met Dean, and some of you have met Maggie. She's a pretty amazing lady. She's 77 years old, and she goes and shares a lot of her story and her testimony and the things that she's been through. And it resonates with a lot of people where we go, because God has done some pretty amazing miracles in her life, brought her out of a life of alcohol, a life of deep darkness, you know, and deep pain. She'd given birth to 10 children, 7 of them survived, and then in adulthood, 2 more of them passed away. And so she has 5 kids left and cares for a lot of them. Some have some mental health challenges. And she is a woman of great kindness, a woman of great anointing and authority in the spirit realm. You know, she's been through a lot. And in that, God has brought amazing miracles of provision, of deliverance, of healing to her and through her. And so she's a great asset to have on the team. So some of you who don't know Maggie, that's just to give you a heads up of who she is and kind of how her ministry operates. She's just an amazing lady. And then, of course, you know Dean, and you've met Brian. Yeah, you know that guy, the one back there. So I wanted to start by saying I know a lot of people prayed for this trip. A lot of people were supporting us in prayer, and we could tell. We really could tell throughout. It made such a difference. And so I just really like to start by everyone giving yourselves a round of applause and saying thank you for everyone who prayed. We're so grateful to you, honestly. That it wouldn't be any point in going without prayer. So that was the first thing to say. On to the next slide. So just give you an overview of what we did and where we went. All right. We landed in Entebbe, and then we went the next morning to Makono, which is just east of Kampala, for ministry there in that church. And you can press kind of the down arrow as we go. It should show you where that is. And then on the Monday, we flew up to Adjumani. Then halfway through the trip, Brian and Dean and one of the leaders of the Hope and Grace churches, they went on down to Tororo for a conference there. So you can see kind of, and the rest of us stayed up in Adjumani and came down. Adjumani is near the border with South Sudan, and there are many refugee camps around there filled with South Sudanese refugees. We did a latest conference among the refugee leaders there. So to begin, that's just the overview. So the first day that we were there, the day after we landed, we went to this church in Makono, and it was really interesting how their church connected with where our church is. They were in the very last day in their old building, and the following Sunday they were going to be in their new building. And it was just, there was a real presence of God. And it was interesting because Dean preached there, and he preached about Joshua and going forward and everything. Yeah, and Maggie and Brian and I each took a different age group class during that time. But before that, I want to just tell you about the ministry time, the healing time. God just really touched people. People were getting healed, and they kind of just used the whole team, come up and heal people. And one that really touched my heart was this young man. He might have been about that high. And at first, he was like, can you pray for my dad who passed away? And I couldn't tell if he was asking for resurrection or for help in his grief. So I then had to say, okay, well, when did that happen? He said, oh, when I was very young. I was like, okay, so we're not talking about a resurrection. So he said he just felt he needed God to heal his heart. And as I began to pray for him, you could just see God touching him. And I said to him, look, God is touching you in your heart, and he's revealing to you that he's your dad, isn't he? He's going, yes, yes, he is. And the pastor came, and he was kind of, Lawrence, he's coming and trying to translate for me as I was praying for people. And I said, Lawrence, I feel like you're supposed to pray a father's blessing on this young man. And he did, and I just don't know how to explain it, but he was such a different person afterwards. Even at the end of the service as we left, he came, you know, to say goodbye, and just his whole face looked different. His whole countenance looked different. God encountered his heart that day. I mean, there were lots of other great things God did in the kids' class. Brian and I, Brian did the younger kids. How many did you have? 40 kids? 30 something kids?
45.
He had so many kids in his class. But I'll let you tell yours in a sec. My class, we didn't have so many. They were a bit older, the 10 to 13s. And so we got them baptized in the Holy Spirit. I think I'm grateful to God for everything that he did. And Maggie was with the teenagers. So after we were done with the service there, they took our team over to the site of the new building and asked us to, we stopped and had some snacks, as you can see. And then they said, look, pray over our new building, which is kind of at the side of where we were sitting, this other little building to the side, and then they had their new building. And they said, look, we want you to dedicate the new building. And then Dean's like, oh, we're going to prophesy over them as well. So, he doesn't really give you a lot of notice, Dean. He just kind of throws you in at the last second. That was it. And they were so blessed. And the words that came to them, they said, these are absolutely spot on. They have been launched out of McCary Church to plant this church in that area. And the new building they have is right in the heart of the community. And it was exciting to be there with them at that time. So then on to Adjumani. We went up, as you'll see, we flew up to Adjumani. And you can see Brian there waiting to get on the plane. And the next day we started the leaders conference. But before that, I want to tell you a little bit about the organization we were with. So if you go into the next slide. The next slide is that we were with an organization called Hope and Grace. And they used to be based in South Sudan for some time until the conflict got too difficult and they had to move to Adjumani because this is like the best base for them in reaching out to South Sudanese refugees. They do evangelism and disciple making. They do church planting and leadership training. They do radio outreach. They do relief. They do agricultural support and training. And they're working in the various different refugee camps and have been for some time. And God is doing amazing things there. The model that they're using, some people call it DMM, disciple-making movement, or T4T, training for trainers. But really what it is everyone sharing the good news with somebody they know and sharing with as many people as possible. A small group forms out of that, and then everyone in that group is encouraged to share with other people that they know. And so they really get things embedded in people's lives. So we go to the next slide, you'll see God is spreading the good news there. It's like wildfire. And just to give you some stats, over 1,700 people giving their lives to Jesus every month. They've now got 1,000 plus, more than 1,000 small groups of new believers. New believers are encouraged to share their faith, invite others, and eventually lead a group if they wish. And then often a lot of them will start groups that start groups that start groups. They're going so many groups deep. they have, every group of studies, the same 12 lessons to begin with. It'll be things like water baptism. And they really sort of get these truths embedded. And they go through, they read the scriptures. They're kind of very exact about sticking with the scripture and what's in the lesson so that everybody can be on the same page. They do Holy Spirit baptism, forgiveness. The Father heart of God is actually a huge emphasis in their ministry, is the Father heart of God. And they go through those 12 lessons until they're all completed and people are really set into that. And then they continue and disciple them further. A lot of these groups form a church. So they have, how many churches that they have now, Brian? It's like 30 something churches or more than that. Right. It's 40 something. I can't remember how many churches, how many of them have kind of become churches. And they're all, most of them are in these refugee camps started and run and propagated by refugees, by South Sudanese refugees. And it's not just South Sudanese people. Some of it has gone into DRC, has gone in all different directions. It's amazing, absolutely amazing. And the main scripture, which is on the next slide, is this. This is kind of the focus of what they do. And it's this. And this applies to all of us. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." That's his command to all of us. And he actually has given us the ability to carry it out. And people who have far less than us, are far less resourced in every way you can think of, are succeeding in carrying out this command. And it's a great challenge and a great inspiration. It really is. And so I was deeply challenged while I was there, not just in terms of giving out, but saying, "Lord, what do you want me to take back? What do you want me to do differently? Because I want this in the UK. I want what they've got here." And he does as well. I'm not saying we have to follow that model exactly, but there's something about this thing of recognizing this is what it means to be a disciple that just... It has to get embedded in our hearts and minds until it flows out of how we live, because it's just awesome. It's the closest thing I've ever seen to the Book of Acts with my own eyes. It's really awesome. And to give you an idea, this organization was started by two Americans, Gary and Louise Short, but everybody in their leadership team is mostly South Sudanese and some Ugandans. That's it. And they know the people they minister with. They've got people who are able to share their stories. I'll give you an example. One guy, he's able to say, "I forgive everyone and I hold nothing against anyone," after he was made a child soldier for a number of years, after he, you know, and he was forcibly conscripted, after, you know, going not that long ago to bury his brother who was forcibly conscripted to one of the rebel groups, and they said, "You can't take his body back to your home area, you'll bury him here." And they beat him, and then he managed to escape. They were going to kill him, but he could look me in the face and say, "I forgive them, I hold nothing against them." The gospel has gone deep. The gospel has gone deep when someone can say that. And he's my friend, I've known him a number of years, so I know he's not making that up. And he shares his story in the different refugee camps, and it impacts people in such a powerful way. And, you know, some of the refugee camps that you're going to hear, God's really doing great things. And others, although God is doing great things, there's great opposition. Like Morobe camp, where a lot of people are just waiting, from what the different people were telling me, just waiting, like, "Give me a chance. When I find out who's killed a family member of mine, there's going to be revenge." And you've got other camps where Pagarinia, which the men visited, where there's recently a stoning of one of their workers by supposedly other Christians, and she ended up dead. And the one of their other workers who worked closely with this woman has had to flee that camp and relocate. But she's still serving Jesus. And her daughter came along to one of our church meetings. They're still serving the Lord, and this organization's helping them, you know, with school fees and things. So it's a great privilege to be there with these people who God loves and who are such wonderful people. So anyway, I could go on about that all day long, but I won't. So the next, I just wanted to give you an overview of the kind of work that they do so you understand what we were there to do. We were doing a leaders' conference with a lot of the people that lead these small groups, as well as the pastors of the churches, and equipping them in a couple of different areas, primarily prophecy and healing the sick. But we gave the Holy Spirit free rein to do what he wanted, so the theme kind of became the Holy Spirit. Dean did a lot of activation and teaching on the prophetic, and so they wanted me to teach on the authority we have, as well as healing the sick. Brian came and did a whole load of sharing about how God uses him in healing the sick, and he was kind of sharing some testimonies. We also had testimonies coming in from people in one of the other camps who have had great success in this and have seen people raised from the dead. And we got people activated in all of these areas, both in prophesying. And there was with the prophecy, we finally had a clinic with that, where there was a lot of Q&A and people asking questions of what's right, what's wrong, what's healthy, what's not biblical. And then there was it also even emerged stuff about healing relationships between husbands and wives. And the Lord spoke quite strongly on that through the leadership there. Yeah, so it was pretty amazing. You can go to the next one and just play, just because I have to share some of the enthusiasm of their worship. Take a look at this first clip. Oh, no, can we have sound? We need sound. Maybe go back to the beginning with that one. It's not as good without the sound. It's just, it doesn't, you don't really capture, you can't really be there without the sound. You need that part. Okay, and then the next one. This one, have a taste of kind of where it's at. There's so many. They did it a little differently this time in terms of language translation, because there's so many different languages. We have people that came over from DRCs. So they were doing Lingala, and they were doing Bari, and Acholi, and Mahdi, which is one of the main languages. But the main one they translated from the front was Juba Arabic, because so many people speak that, no matter which part they're from. And yeah, so there are a lot of different, I can't remember all the other languages, but I don't think they did that one, no. So anyway, I'm now going to hand over to Brian, who's going to tell you what happened, because when that conference was done was when we kind of went, the team kind of separated out to our different assignments. And so Brian's going to add in what came after that.
How you doing, church? Can you hear me okay? So what was the name of that first church we went to? Loki and Lawrence's?
And see it. Full Gospel in Mokona.
So obviously we got to do Sunday school with the kids. So there's just a little video clip there.
If you want to play that, please. Give you an idea how many kids I have to deal with.
So just everyone gonna just say Jesus loves me. Tell them to shout.
I tell them Jesus.
And when they have been breakfast.
Okay, I want all of us to shout Jesus. 1, 2, 3 and go.
Jesus.
And we sing the power and love of Jesus.
And yeah. Now
there's power.
So you can see I've got the short straw with numbers. So that was enthusiastic. They knew the song, so it wasn't me teaching them it, even though that's one I carry around a lot. So was it was a Friday or Saturday we set off? When we went to Tururo.
I think you guys went to Pagarinia and then...
Yeah. I'm trying to think which day we went. I'm not sure if it was a Saturday or a Friday we set off.
It was a Saturday.
So we went off to Pagarinia. Even though we drove round for about 45 minutes, still as far as the eye could see, we couldn't see the end of it. That's how big the place was. And obviously Ange was saying that there had been recently an uprising, and one of the visiting pastors... was stoned to death. So even though they've arrested people, they still think that these people were, it's not like it was unrest. And the lovely lady who was there, she was spotted by another group and had to flee where she was staying. And you were looking at the camps, you wouldn't expect there was $1 billion of UN money that's actually gone into these camps. So there's corruption even in the UN. Which is a shame, really. And that's a big thing in Uganda. So we moved on to Gulu. You can see there's another slide there with Tony, a picture of Tony. So this guy works at the hotel. Don't ask me why I was wandering around in the dark. It just gets dark very early there because we're near the equator. And I asked him, does he know about Jesus? And he said he did, which is cool. And I said, you got any pain? Oh, ran me back about 10. If he twisted, it just doesn't happen, you know. Jesus can sort that out. So I prayed for him, and then he went, wow, all gone. So amen to that. You know, God's good. But you can see there's another picture there with the Gulu town, which I found was quite amazing. As you see, there's paving there, which we're used to here. And they're going to redo the road as well. And we were driving around where we were in Adjumani, there was just dirt tracks. And even in Kampala, which is the capital, is dirt tracks. And the paving on the roads is just pretty poor. So I don't know where the investment is in Gulu, why they are doing that, but things are going forward, obviously, in some areas. We obviously then moved on to... Tururo, if I said that right. Basically, read my own writing. So there was another leadership conference. That part of that town is near the border of Kenya. So there's a UN and World Center there, which trucks come, load up, and distribute all the kind of stuff. So Gary wasn't actually impressed with the lack of the Holy Spirit and knowledge of DMM, but within the group he had. So between Dean and him, they had to drill some holes in their hearts and place some dynamite and let the Holy Spirit light them up. It took a couple of days, but they got to it. How many are filled with the Holy Spirit, you were saying? Loads of hands go up. Okay, how many people haven't got the Holy Spirit in them? Yeah, one or two hands come up. Well, step forward, all who want it. So, a dozen people. Well, that was only three hands went up. There's a dozen people. Yeah, you work it out. They're a bit poor in, I suppose, pride is within these people. And they're not admitting in their hearts, you know. But as these people were receiving the Holy Spirit and started preaching in tongues, everyone started coming up, which gave a good ground for after lunch, because Gary says, for me to step up. Oh, wait a minute, I'm behind the camera. You want me to say something to these people? So I basically was talking about the people, they got the Holy Spirit in them now. They pray in tongues. Do they know how powerful the Holy Spirit is in them? Do they know what they can do with it? You know, and I shared testimonies. There was this, obviously you've just seen the one about Tony. We went to a market. We're going down these steps. And there's this woman, she's a young girl. She's gingerly walking down. You know, I'm not going to be like Rick and just run across the other side. So we stopped her and asked her what's wrong. She basically had a piece of metal going in her foot, even though the foot metal came out, as well as the foot. But, so she was still suffering. But, you know, Jesus healed, so we prayed for her, and she walked off like that. So obviously, I know Ange has another testimony about someone else called Tony. I'm sure she's going to share that in a minute. But what I'm saying is, if we have the Holy Spirit in us, that's what raised Jesus from the dead, what raised any people from the dead. It's what heals people, and that's in us. We are just vessels. If you want to step out and pray for people, Jesus does the healing. So then obviously there was a call. Gary says, anyone want to come up? About 20 people came up. They just kept coming up and they had to. And I don't, people see me pray. I don't take 5 seconds when I pray for people. I make sure they're healed before they walk away from me. So about, the sun was setting. Everyone had gone. Only joking. But yeah, so that was Tururo, which for when we first went there, they were just, their hearts were like stone. But Gary, Dean, they've done their work. Both of them are totally different. They're not like Rick. You know, Dean's like Rick. They're both like the same. But they've known each other 50 years. So there was 100 years of ministry between them. But if that was Rick, 100 of those are Dean. So. But yeah, do you want to talk about Tony before we do things?
Well, yeah, we have to talk about the ladies' conference as well. That's all
right. Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah. But you can mention that.
Okay, so we probably need to go back to.
Hello? Ah, I'm on. Great. So you can go back to that. So he talked about Pagarinia, which is one of the refugee camps. And then I think you saw, you can go to the next slide. Which was, that's when they went to Tororo and carry on. Then they went via Gulu, so it wasn't quite that direct. But you can see there, they had that. And as you can see, as Brian showed you, there was a real shift as a result. And you can see Dean there. Because these pastors and leaders wanted all the results of the book of Acts. They're saying, this is what we want this. But they were like, oh, what, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues? Oh, you know, so you can't leapfrog over that. It doesn't work that way. So, yeah. So then if you carry on, you can see the next one. So you could click on that video, give you an example of that first one. Don't stop. And so then, and also you can see people queuing up to be receive healing through Brian praying for them. And I just really showed you that so that Brian couldn't get out of his photo being on the screen. So anyway, on to the next slide. You know, when we were in Adjumani, we stayed in Adjumani when they went on. And we spent that Saturday when they were in Pagarinia planning and praying into the coming week. And then on the Sunday, we went to a church in Marapura, where the last time I was there a couple of years ago, I preached to them, and they were meeting under a mango tree. They've since built a building, but weather challenges, they've just got the roof of it left and the base. But the awesome thing was they've really grown, they've reached the community, and also the woman who recently passed away, who was murdered, her daughter was there. And she's just still serving God with all her heart. She was playing the drums for the worship time. You know, the faith and the commitment to the Lord really inspires your heart. It really does. So then on the Monday, we went to Borrelly 1 and Borrelly 2. You'll remember the last time that we were there, well, you may not remember, but the last time we were there, one of the camp commanders had come to Gary and Louise and said, look, we're having a problem with a demonic outbreak. There, I could go to different people, but I know you guys have power. Can you please come and deal with it? I think it was at Borrelly 1. And these are side-by-side refugee camps, and they're kind of older ones. And people were terrified because the enemy was tormenting them, and so they were packing up to leave. So we went, and a whole bunch of people gave their lives to the Lord, because they started by preaching the good news, because they said, well, we can clear out the demons, but they're just going to come back unless you give your lives to the Lord. You need Jesus to be the king so that, you know, his kingdom rules over all, Psalm 103 says. So that's our thing. So we went in there, and they really took us there because they said, we want you to see what happened since you were here last time. And the man who's kind of overseeing a lot of the work in these refugee camps, and there's more than 49 different tribes in these two refugee camps combined. And the guy who's heading up the work there is someone who spent 6 years forcibly conscripted into the Lord's Resistance Army, or 6.5 years. And you'd never know it. The man, you'd never know the stuff that he'd had to do. But he's full of gentleness, full of kindness, full of the Lord's goodness, and they've had so many church small groups planted, and then people come into their churches. That week that we were there a couple of years ago, they baptized 70 people then. So now a bunch of these people come to the different church buildings they've got, and so they're involved in a lot of church planting there and starting of small groups, people getting saved. But they also have really significant challenges. Let me show you this first. Click on the first video clip. This just gives you an idea.
At Borrelly.
Sorry, the wind is really bad.
Refugee camp where we came last time, and now there is a church built.
You can kind of see them, and you'll see Andrew in the next clip. Yeah, I mean, we sat there in the church with him, and he said, you know, the challenges that I'm facing are difficult. He said, you know, I spent a few hours on Sunday afternoon counseling this family where is these two young people, 16 and 18 years old. They've come from South Sudan. The rest of their other four siblings are still back in South Sudan. The mother paid the last few thousand shillings they had for school fees. The father was angry because he was planning to use that money for drinking, and so he murdered the mother. And so he said, you know, I'm having to comfort them because they're saying, we want to go back and confront our father and say, why did you kill our mother? And he was saying, no, don't take revenge. Don't take revenge. Let me tell you about God's love. And these are the sort of things that they encounter constantly in encouraging people. So we went on to Borrelly 2.
190 people come to this church.
This is their church.
And it never rains on Sunday morning, which is why so many people come.
That's Andrew right there.
And this is in Borrelly too. And these are some of our friends. Yes.
special people. Special people. The day after that, we had a ladies' conference with a bunch of their leaders. It was an awesome time. And it was, God just moved powerfully. Maggie shared a lot of her stories. They asked me to kind of carry the teaching load and Maggie to share a lot on the testimony load. And God sort of, well, he just moved together. You know, sometimes you might not work with someone very much, but God can connect you to work together with people. And this is why he doesn't send people who are identical to ministry. I learned that from working with Tina. He puts people together who have different giftings. So you both bring something different to the table and God works it together. And a lot of these women are leading groups and they're encouraging them in leading groups. Some of the people just came along and some people just came along who weren't anything to do with it. A bunch of women came along and gave their lives to the Lord on the second day in the evening, in the afternoon. There was such a great presence that broke in on the second day of the conference. And one of the things I felt to share with people is to do with God removing the shame of human rejection, because Jesus promised us rejection. He promised it. He said we will be rejected. And so if we don't know how to process rejection correctly and in a healthy way, we won't be able to face the rejection he promised without being damaged. And so it's a lot of that is to do with, you know, lies that the enemy tells us when we're rejected. And one of the most common ones, and it brings a lot of shame, is there must be something wrong with you. And we dealt with this at various different levels, parental rejection and so on, and sibling and community rejection. So many women came to me later and said, will you pray with me? Will you pray with me? My family's rejected me since I'm walking with God. One lady who came, her name was Winnie. She's from a Muslim area in Yumbe, and she starts groups and witnesses. When she gave her life to the Lord, coming out of a Muslim background, they attempted to kill her. Eventually, they accepted her presence, but it was very difficult in the area where she was, and she started these groups. They've broken into her house and they break things. Even while she was there, they had, you know, were putting people in jail. Some young man, young boy, who basically they said, he stole my goat, which was nonsense. He hadn't. And, you know, we prayed about it. And the next day he was released. But by the grace of God, you know, this woman is going on. And she said, you know, it just ministered to me so much because there's just been so much rejection. And at the end of that time, I don't know how to explain it, but God just told me to sing over people. And I was looking at my translator, Lino, and he sang, I think he sang, I don't know whether he was translating it. He was trying to sing it, but he was translating it into Juba Arabic. And then, you know, people placed around would translate into the different languages. And there was just such a presence of God, and people were crying, and just God was touching people's hearts. I don't know how to describe it. God did something. And then later that afternoon, a bunch of people had come in and gotten saved. Well, they were already planning to baptize a load of women that afternoon. So these other 16 women came along and added to their group. It made 40 women that got baptized that evening. So it's pretty awesome. And we had such a wonderful time with all of them. And I just, this brings me to what I want to say here, which is thank you for praying. Your prayers, it wasn't just us that went, you went. Your prayers went with us. Your prayers made a difference. And I know, even if you never meet any of these people in person, they're going to come up to you one day in heaven and say thank you. And say thank you for praying for me. I'll read you a little bit from the website of Gary and Louise. You've heard us mention DMM. It's Disciple Making Movement. It's what it stands for. And they said, when we started that, our focus was South Sudan's large refugee population in Uganda. But within a year of starting in northern Uganda, it began spreading around the country. Now we have DMM groups in central, eastern, western, as well as northern Uganda. Additionally, we are in over 20 refugee camps and are not only touching the South Sudanese, but also Congolese and people from the Nuba Mountains. There were some people from the Nuba Mountains who came to the meetings. We started our disciple-making movement in earnest in 2015 after several months of convincing our leaders that it would be more fruitful and training them how to do it. As of March 2018, we have 476 groups with over 4,403, and that's multiplied to 1,000 since then, with more than 4,403 people attending a group each week. In March, we saw 1,079 people receive Christ and 410 people water baptized. More than 40 churches have emerged out of our DMM since we began. So I wanted to share that with you, and I'd like us to pray. And so if we can just stand, I'd like us to pray for three things, and then I'm going to share one more thing, and Brian's going to take over. I'd like us to pray into three things. So we can go back up to where it says, thank you for praying, because we're not done praying. I'd like us to pray for three things. One, I'd like to pray for South Sudan. They're still in conflict. The leaders often sign things saying we're going to have peace now, but conflict continues. Every South Sudanese person I had a conversation with is hopeful that this is going to come to an end. I know when I was there, God said to me, you are going to see peace there in your lifetime. And he spoke to me from Hosea 2. God loves every one of these people. A lot of them have fled and they're hearing the good news. But for there to be forward progress, there's going to have to be some peace because too many people have died. And what we don't want is more is revenge for the people who've died, because there's just a cycle of violence then. God wants to move. He loves these people. He loves this nation. And so I'd like everybody in this section over here, when we start praying, please pray for the mighty hand of God to move, to bring peace in this nation, to move everything into place. You may need to pray in tongues because there's a lot involved, and only the Lord knows what's going to be the thing that makes the difference. So please pray into that for peace for South Sudan. And then in the middle section, can you please pray, as we pray in a moment, for the Ministry of Hope and Grace and what they're doing, for salvation to continue to spread and for disciples to continue to go and make other disciples. I mean, they baptize people just like that. They get them going. Pray for wisdom and direction, because they're not going to be around forever, the people leading this. They want to hand it over to the South Sudanese and Ugandan leaders. So God has a transition plan. He has all of that in place. And so pray for that. Pray for wisdom and for even greater harvest. The harvest is ripe right now, and protection on his people. So if you will pray for that ministry. And then over here, if we can pray, Lord, we want this. We want this soul-winning ability to break out. We have it. Let it go deep. Because he said, the harvest is ripe. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth labor. So we say, Lord, send us forth. That's the prayer of this group over here. We're going to say, Lord, send us forth. Send us forth. Not only me, send us all forth. Because that's the amazing thing. If someone actually has a harvest field and they've got a load of people in it, they don't send them out empty-handed to go and pick the grain with their hands. We have.
So let's begin now. Just pray. Pray if needed in your heavenly language. Oh, Father. Oh, Father, move by your mighty hand. We thank you for your great love for South Sudan. Lord, for all of the people. Lord, Oh, throughout South Sudan, Lord, you know. Oh, Father, you know. You see. You see, Lord. And God, I just thank you that you stretch forth your mighty hand and you turn. You turn the tide of violence, Lord God. You raise up those who will be leaders that speak peace and require peace and teach peace and model peace, Lord God. You bring reconciliation. You bring forgiveness, Lord. You bring, oh, what can only be done supernaturally, Lord, healing of the deep, deep wounds of this nation. Lord, you see, Lord, nothing is beyond your power. Nothing, nothing is too hard for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you do. Lord, for the people that you so dearly love. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your power, oh God. Thank you, Almighty God. You're doing it, Lord. We receive it, Lord. You're doing it, Lord. We receive it. You're doing it, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the Lord of the harvest. Lord, you are our leader and our guide. You are our advisor. You are our help, Lord. And we thank you that you're doing it, Lord. You're doing it. Even as you've promised me, you are doing it. Even in that nation, Lord God. Lord, and all the surrounding nations, Lord. That those who have been so deeply wounded, arise, Lord, with divine health in their souls and in their bodies, in their spirits. Lord, you're doing it because of your mighty power and your great love, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Go ahead and have a seat. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We believe you're doing it. Okay, let's go to the next. I just want to share one quick testimony. I'm going to hand over to Brian. So I also met a guy named Tony. And this is the thing. When it comes to sharing the good news, we kind of got two groups of people. The people we already know and have relationships with. And we have lots of different ways of sharing with them through our relationship. And sometimes we have to be bold. We also have to have wisdom and sensitivity. We can demonstrate the gospel through works of power and acts of love and service. But then there's also another group of people, and those are the people we don't know or don't know very well. People on the street, people on the tube and the bus and, you know, just everywhere we go. And I want to tell you about one of these, because with these people, we don't have time to build a really long relationship. I'd never met this guy before. So the day of the first conference, the leadership conference, we were just waiting to be collected from where we were staying. And I thought, oh, I'm just going to quickly go and use facilities in my room. And then, you know, so I'm ready when they come. Apart from that, I was ready. I thought, well, I'll just wander back to my room. And as I'm wandering back to my room, I pass this man. And one of the things about that I love about Uganda, and it's this way in South Sudan as well, people are so friendly. Like, everybody greets each other. It's not like here where you think, oh, what do you mean? Hello, what are you trying to say? You know, it's not like that. You know, people are just so much more friendly. And it's just one of the many things that's wonderful. And I passed this guy. He greeted me. I greeted him. And then we just carried on. And he was limping. And the Lord said, go back and talk to him. And I was like, oh, all right. Well, I haven't got time. Okay, fine. And so I was like, okay. So I went back and I found him. And I said, oh, hi. I said, you know, kind of introduced myself and said, I noticed that you were limping. You know, what happened with your leg? And he was explaining he fell off the back of one of these motorbike things, bodabodas, they call them there. And his leg had twisted round from the knee, and then there was a wound on the other leg. And so I said, look, my friends are just here. You know, we'd love to pray for you if you wouldn't mind. And he said, yeah, you know, that's great. And so we stopped and prayed for him. He felt some better. We spoke to his legs again. He felt a lot better. And then I just felt like there's something more here. I didn't have a great sense of what more was because I didn't know how ripe the harvest there was. I mean, I kind of knew, but I said, okay, Lord, all right. So I said, you know, Tony, I feel like there's something more God wants to do, and he wants to minister to you more. Can you tell me what it is that you really want from the Lord inside? And he said, yes, I want to give my life to the Lord. I was like, oh, okay, great. So I said, Dean, why don't you lead him in the prayer of salvation, which Dean did. And so we were thrilled. And I said, now you need to get baptized in water, and you need to tell your family about this. Well, there was a pool there at the hotel, and it was a little bit, like, it wasn't transparent, so I wasn't planning to go swimming in it. And but this guy actually takes care of the pool. That was his job. He'd moved there from Gulu, and so he was looking after the pool. So we were like, you can get baptized in the pool, thinking somebody else is going to be doing it. But actually, that's a good thing for somebody else to do it, because they'd be the ones discipling him and taking him forward. So, and he's such a nice guy. And he was just so thrilled, and he went immediately and told his mom and his sister that he'd given his life to the Lord. And so then we were trying to get someone from the ministry to come and baptize him, but things were so busy there with the conferences and so on, it didn't get seen to until the next week. Well, on the Sunday afternoon after we'd preached at Motopoda, God had done amazing things, then we came back and we had a little bit of time off in the afternoon, which was great. And so we were kind of sitting by the pool. Maggie, she jumped right in the pool. She didn't have her swimsuit. She jumped in with her dress on. But it was fine, you know. And I kind of sat and dangled my feet in the water for a while. And I had a chance to talk to him some more. Well, I noticed they're playing some music, which had some slightly questionable lyrics. So I thought, okay. So I said, Tony, do you think they'd mind playing some Christian music from my phone? You know, like maybe through Bluetooth or whatever. And he was like, no, that would be great. So I go in and start talking to the guy who's running the music. And he was like, yeah, I'll take this. He's like, well, in fact, why don't I just take it off your phone? He puts the cable into my phone and just took every sound file that was on my phone off. I mean, they were still on there, but he copied it over before I even had a chance to say anything. And I was thinking, oh, Lord, copyright. Am I saying it? Oh, you know. I was like, I was saying, well, not all of these are music files. Some of them are prophecies and things like that. But hey, he didn't mind. It was fine. That cracked me up. And I thought, well, okay, if you want it, you got it, man. So at different times through the week, I noticed they were playing different Christian songs. And a lot of them are songs that we know, like Waymaker and different, if you like anything by Muiwa, or, you know, the people that I like. And Dr. Toomey, oh, I love that man. And anyway, so when it finally came time on the Thursday before we were going to fly back down, one of the pastors there, a man named Deo, came, and he came along to baptize him. So we introduced them, and he's chatting away to Tony. And so I said, oh, I'm just going to go get my Bible and everything so we can encourage you when you get baptized, and get my phone to take your picture. So Tony got baptized, and it was so awesome. And I'm just going to so if you go to the next slide, just play the first video.
I don't know if you're here. Yes, you are. Okay. Your name is Tony?
The Christian music playing.
Okay. My name is Tony. Because you have believed in Jesus as your Savior, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
So you'll notice Christian music is playing then, but when we first went out there, it was secular music, and I thought, you know what, he's about to get baptized, I'm just going to go in and ask if they can play one of the Christian songs I've given them, just for his baptism. So I went in there, and I'm talking to the guy, and he was like, yeah, that's fine. He was like, yeah, that's fine, so he puts on some Christian music. As soon as Tony came out of the water, they go and get changed, and we all sit round to have a drink. As we're sitting there, the guy who's been running the music, Lenya, he came out, and he said, I need you all to pray for me. So we began to talk with him, and he said, oh, you know, I need wealth, I need God to make my life good and everything. We began to share with him some, and I felt we're definitely supposed to pray for this guy. But Deo, it was good because between all of us, we shared with him. Maggie shared some of her story. Deo shared his story. And he said, Lanya, I feel like there's something more you want to ask for. There's something deeper you want to ask for, but you haven't said it yet. And he said, and so the man responded and he said, well, I'm from South Sudan. And I can't actually say the other things I want to ask for. It's just so painful. There'll be tears coming out my eyes. I can't talk about what I would like to ask, the other stuff I'd like to ask for. And so Deo began to share his story, how God saved him from being a child on the streets of Gulu, and how he had had nothing and he became an alcoholic. And people used to come and talk to him about Jesus, and he'd think, if there is actually a God, then how can I be suffering so much? And God really began to touch his heart, and he kind of shared a bit of his story of how God rescued him. And so he shared his story. Maggie shared some of her story. And then I felt to say, okay, let's pray for him. Do you mind if we pray for you now? So we prayed for him. And as we're praying for him, because we all kind of laid hands on him, kind of gathered around, as we're praying for him, I can sense God's presence. And I said, look, the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart right now. He's revealing the love of God to you. You can feel his presence. And he was going, yeah, you know. So he said, okay, what is it that you want? And he said, I want to give my life to the Lord. So we're like, great. So one of the other pastors there, Tamale, prayed the prayer of salvation with him. And he was just so excited. And so we began to talk with him some more. And I said, well, you know, after encouraging him some, I said, you know what the next step in God's plan for you is, don't you? And he was like, no. I said, well, it involves that pool right there. And he got this big smile on his face, and he said, oh, baptized. And then he just got up, and Dale got up, and they went and got changed and went in, and then this happened. No, not that one. Oh, stop the first one. You have to click on the first one to stop it.
Okay. I hope you don't see your water.
No, it doesn't matter. This is special. God is with you.
Yeah, so Daniel, because you have accepted the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, I take the opportunity to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Into the name Amen. Of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. You know, what was amazing is after that, all he wanted was scriptures. He was saying, look, can I please write down some scriptures that I don't have my Bible here, but it's where I sleep, but I really want some scriptures. And then we were praying for them to be able to, Tony already has a time when he can be discipled, but they want to be discipled together and meet. And so we just believe God that he will make a way for Lanyek to also be discipled along with Tony, because his employment situation is quite difficult. But by the grace of God, he's moving. And so the next morning, he was beaming. We were leaving that morning, but he came to find us. And he was just saying, wow, wow, you know. I was able to give him some, we didn't use the word wow, but he was I don't know how to explain it, but his face was like completely different. It was like shining in a way. I don't know how to describe it, but thankfully I had a chance to write down some scriptures for him and for Tony together. And it was just so wonderful. This is what God wants to do. He wants to do awesome things. And so I just wanted to say, you know, sometimes when he gives you that nudge, don't ignore it, because it can be something really wonderful. It can be something really wonderful. All right, I'm going to pass over to Brian now.
Hello. How are you out there now? Right. Obviously, there was a lot more stories that went on. A lot more testimonies. And, you know, there's videos I've compiled, so they will be coming forth in the future. Hopefully not too far in the future. But obviously we feel, you know, like I was just saying to people in Uganda, it's just, does anyone need filling of the Holy Spirit? You know, if you've got the Holy Spirit, and it doesn't mean you can't be refilled up. So I'm asking the church here, if any of you guys want more of the Holy Spirit, you can step forward. If anyone wants healing, just step forward. We just come forward, the worship team, whatever. Everyone just come forward for healing. You know. It's available for everyone. So not just people in Uganda. So what do you want to pray for? More of the Holy Spirit. Right, Lord, you know how much Liz desires for more of you, Lord. I ask now that the Holy Spirit just fills her up, renews her in Jesus' name. Just holy, just come with fire upon her, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Yahweh, Yahweh. worship Yahweh.